This is 69 the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry for more than 11 years, first online and now as a podcast. We cover what's new and interesting, and we filter out all the BS. This podcast gives listeners a chance to hear at length from people and companies who are making a real mark in the industry, with new ideas or just old-fashioned hard work and smarts. You can listen to episodes online, get it from iTunes or Google Play, or use your favorite podcast app to pull down the RSS feed. I know a lot of our listeners fire up episodes while they're stuck in traffic or taking the dog for a walk. We also have a companion podcast called Projects. That one digs deep on the creative and tech behind landmark signage projects. That's done every second Friday by Michael Tutton, and you can find that at dsprojects.podbean.com. 69 is sponsored and supported by ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. Lee Summers is only a few months into his job as CEO of Reflect, but neither the industry or the company were unfamiliar to him when he took over at the company's Dallas head office earlier this year. In an unusual twist, he'd been on the other side of the table as one of Reflect's highest profile clients. Summers came out of the retail agency business and actually got his start as a creative. But in recent years, he'd been the digital innovation guy looking at how to kit out the mammoth Nebraska Furniture Mart in Dallas. As the saying goes, they do things big in Texas. And this store is a monstrous 600,000 square feet. That's about four IKEAs. He was also in charge of the vast multi-tenant retail space around that store. We get into that project, but talk more broadly about the challenges and opportunities he now faces of running a CMS software and services company that's squarely focused on retail, when bricks and mortar stores are under siege from online. We also talk about AdLogic, an advertising and targeting platform that was built for a client and is now being extended for any retailer that can't find what it wants from ad platforms, which are almost all built with online, not stores in mind. Our 35 minutes flew by. All right, Lee, thanks for jumping on this call. Wanted to ask about, well, maybe let's back up and tell me about what Reflect is all about, because I would imagine a lot of people know, but not everybody.
Sure. So Reflect got its start about 2001 in the online streaming world. Some of our original founders were part of the broadcast.com original think tank that sold to Yahoo. And so once that happened, they started Reflect with that same knowledge base that they had created at broadcast.com. And so we started in online streaming and found a niche along the way with retail, digital and retail. We're able to really leverage the software we had developed for online streaming to be crossed over in store. And throughout the year, some of the great retail partners we've had has allowed us to turn our offerings more into a turnkey solution as those brand dollars and brand buckets diminish from the brand agencies and look for more specialty skill shops. That's where we find ourselves. So we've been able to add strategy and creative content and ad placement, media sales, and full system integration to the mix along the way. But we still really hang our hat on that backbone of that original software CMS platform.
But you don't really do streaming.
No. We're kind of moved away from that original founding mentality, and we're going more to that local cache content and content strategy and scheduling.
It's almost kind of weird because doing streaming 16 years ago would have been very, very challenging in terms of connectivity and everything else. But you were doing it then versus now, where it's, you know, it would actually be reasonably feasible to do that.
That's right. And it's interesting for me to hear kind of how that whole thing started with the founders. Matt Schmidt, our president, was one of those original founders, and so it's interesting to hear his take on how the industry has shifted focus on where we develop software for. And luckily we landed some clients in retail, and we found that we were a best fit for that. We seem to be able to speak to retailers and continue to build our skill sets and staffing here internally from the retail sector.
So I like you, have been around digital signage Reflect has been around digital signage for a long, long time. And a lot of companies have put their sights on retail as the vertical to be in, and most of them have struggled, I would say, at best to really crack it. It's a tough vertical to go after, isn't it?
Absolutely. It really is. And I come in as kind of a unique situation. I came in as an end user, as a buyer, for Berkshire Hathaway prior to being here at Reflect. And, looking for partners out in the mix. Everybody wants to play in your space, but they really don't fully understand the science behind retail and all the moving parts and all the different owners of buckets and who owns the experience on the floor versus who owns the IT and marketing strategy. So it's really tricky to get to the right team members, but luckily we've been able to crack the code a little bit and get to the right team, and it's been fruitful for us.
Yeah, let's talk about your background a little bit because it is kind of curious, first of all, to jump over to be CEO of a company when you were previously, the immediately previous job, a major client of said company. And your background is really much more on the creative side as opposed to, being an executive.
You're exactly right. So if I go back a little bit beyond being an end user, working more in retail brand agencies for Omnicom for 12, 13 years, and working with some of the bigger brands out in the industry, the AT&Ts of the world, and different ones at that level, trying to figure out the science of how do you keep people, how do you get them to your location, how do you keep them there longer, and how do you get them back in there to buy more product. So we try to figure that out for major retailers for years and years. And so I originally started in creative department and did creative direction, and then kind of moved into the operational side of the ad business, and really wanted to find out what that operational side would look like. How do you make money in advertising when those costs continue to go down every day, and fighting with everybody and the competitive nature of that space? So I really wanted to understand that, and those learnings kind of led me to the opportunity to build a retail arts lab for Omnicom here in the Dallas market. And that was a successful project, and those learnings led me to the Nebraska Furniture Mart project that Warren Buffett was working on here in Dallas. And so I just carried over those learnings I gained from Omnicom building their retail arts lab, and just rolled that straight into a real living lab out of North Dallas. And I, along the way, picked providers that I shouldn't have, and I picked some that I did, and Reflect happened to hit the one that of one of the ones that I liked working with, and they over-delivered on every opportunity. So it was just a perfect fit for me to expand into that world. I worked with this entire team for several years, brainstorming and building that innovation for Berkshire Hathaway. And so it was just a seamless transition for me, and it's great. It's really the perfect scenario. It allowed me to broaden to more than one brand, but we also still maintain that brand that I came from. So it was a great situation for both parties. Now they have more resources than they had than just me sitting there, and I have the ability to go affect more than one brand.
A couple things. First of all, when you talk about learnings from your time at Omnicom and creating that lab in Dallas, what are those things that you learned that you actually would pass along to other people?
Sure. I think that primarily, if you look, we focus a lot on hardware solutions. We were really focused on, what is emerging technology? What are the beacons out there? Or is that coming on this next wave? Or the video wall technology? How do you get the right players in place and make a recommendation to a major brand? And we focus too much effort on the hardware component and not enough on the delivery aspect or the CMS platform. And CMS was just as important to, because the CMS provider, if they understand the strategies behind retail, they can offer insight into what platform might work. Or the biggest learning coming out of that was expecting in-store interactive apps to seamlessly work with any CMS platform out there, which that is not the case. And it's hugely advantageous for a retailer to come in and pick a CMS provider that can also own that app development versus promising for it to work seamlessly with their ad created, their agency created app. It's those hooks will never really seamlessly work the way that that software was originally created. And they might work for 6 months until an update here, an update there, and all the different levels and layers of updates take place. You have an opportunity for failure. So that was probably my biggest takeaway from those learnings is just being naive to the fact that CMS providers out there, proven CMS networks out there, would work seamlessly with existing app development.
Okay. And for people who don't live in the United States, and even many who do, they may not know what Nebraska Furniture Market is all about. Could you kind of give me the rundown on that place? Because it's a giant furniture store, right?
Sure. So Nebraska Furniture Mart has four locations, but this last location in the Dallas market is poised to be about a $1 billion revenue generator per year. So the location here in Dallas was a Warren Buffett-backed project that, you know, the company is 90 years old, and Warren Buffett bought it back in the late 80s, the majority of that company. And so he's had the financial backing to allow them to do some pretty incredible projects. So the Dallas location is just under 600,000 square feet of retail. If you compared retail space to retail space, it's about five or six IKEAs into the one retail location. Cool. The distribution center is about 1.3 million square feet. And it is an anchor. It's the main anchor of a 500-acre development called Grandscape, also owned and operated by Berkshire Hathaway. And the idea of being the main anchor for a development, but also being the landlord for 250 additional retailers and entertainment areas, allows the traffic from Nebraska Furniture Mart allows to be able to control that entire space and bring in and be strategic on who your partners are that you bring into that space. So, Nebraska Furniture Mart was not playing in the digital retail space at all outside of their 12,000 brands that they represent, occasionally bringing in an in-store experience or a kiosk. And so, as you can imagine, a lot like other big box retailers struggle with governing digital experiences in store, what we did is we found a partner that could help us build a platform to where we funneled everything under one network. So if you are a furniture brand or a electronics brand and you wanted an experience in the store and you want it networked, then it was going to be on the Reflect platform. We were going to use the same hardware. We found a huge amount of efficiencies with the local IT staff being able to be that level one support on that same product versus having to try to identify issues that are negatively affecting the clients out on the floor with, 50 different experiences.
And that's such a huge footprint. I can't imagine how you'd even really begin to plot out where to put screens and what they're going to do and how this is all going to work.
Yeah, it really is pretty incredible. But if you look at it more of like an outdoor development that just happens to be inside or a full mall, you know where the sight lines are going to be, the architectural renderings now and the 3D fly-throughs, you can really start to imagine where that future is going to be. What we're trying to use now for our clients in that same space is more of a VR experience to where you can see an existing space of what it looks like now, but let's put you in that space through VR and add digital to it. So now we can quickly say, yes, that works, no, it doesn't, as you're walking through that space. So we didn't do VR for Nebraska Furniture Mart in Dallas, but if that technology was there 3 years ago, I think that I would have, just to be able to sell those ideas and thoughts and placement of the screens to the senior team a little more efficiently. But you're right. I mean, going through that space when it's just a slab of concrete and two levels and trying to identify where the foot traffic's going to be and you don't really have anything to compare it to out in the industry. A lot of it was guessing, but I feel like we did a really good job of placement and developing apps that really worked in that space. The main concern we had was, from the strategy level, was identifying what are we trying to do to the customers this first year? We're trying to educate them on a brand that they've never heard of. So we did that with content. The second thing was we need to get them to the products that they're looking for. So we seamlessly integrated all the NFC and digital price tags into the wayfinding apps that are throughout the store that shows you where those products are every single morning. They lock them down at 9:30 and it shows you where that product is. So now you can route yourself to the product you're looking for based on the sales flyer that brought you into the store.
Okay. And as I recall from some of the material that came out when the store opened, you didn't screen the hell out of the place, did you? There's really not that many screens given the overall footprint.
That's right. We were we didn't want to take away from the aesthetics of the store. That was the CEO's main concern with bringing in digital. We did tastefully bring in environmental areas that just simply adds content with no promo messaging to help support the store set for that day from the store merchandising teams. I think we brought in about 144 screens individually. It sounds like a lot for one location, but if you walk the store, you're about 150 feet away from any competing screen, just because they also have 450 flat screen TVs for sale. So you've got that in the mix, plus the house feeds. And so we had to strategically place those, but it's not overwhelming at all.
Right. Just going back to your remarks around VR, is that help with ongoing sales efforts with other retailers? The ability to do, as you were describing, really show how this is going to look and be able to change things almost on the fly to tweak and tweak and tweak, as opposed to kind of selling the dream?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to go back to me being a buyer. And as we were building the 450-acre development outside of Nebraska Furniture Mart, our architect brought in VR to showcase the future of that space. So we picked the architect that brought that technology to the table. He wasn't the cheapest. He wasn't going to get it done the quickest. But it was that technology that allowed us to visualize it to where you weren't in the dark about what it was going to look like. You could zoom in to the 20th story of the resort that's going to be on there and look at the balcony looking down at the top of all the buildings. And so I just use that same mentality that the architectural industry is using to bring it into the digital space, because if it resonates with the end buyer and they can get past this issue of, yeah, but what is it going to do to our space? If we can prove to them it's going to seamlessly be integrated into your space and enhance your experience, then I think me as a buyer, yes, it resonates with me. Now, as we're doing that right now with additional opportunities, it's looking favorable. I think they're open to the idea. So I've been here just over 90 days, and we haven't had an opportunity to bring that to the mix, but we do have the equipment here to do that, and we do plan on bringing VR to sell in a physical space.
And it's relatively easy to do now, is it not?
That's right. I can't believe people aren't doing it already. It's one of those no-brainers, I feel like, to be able to just represent the space that they're familiar with.
It takes time and real money to make and host this podcast, so I'm grateful for the continuing support of ScreenFeed.
Hi, this is Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. I hope you're enjoying the podcast as much as I am. I've loved Dave's blog since we started in the industry. It's now our 10th year at ScreenFeed, and we've grown to be a reliable partner for the industry, serving over 1,700 customers with over 100,000 screens globally, and we're currently getting 10 million content requests daily. But more important than that is that we make content beautiful, functional for the medium, and we help our customers meet their goals of increasing viewership and satisfying customers. If you don't know how ScreenFeed can help you, it's worth 5 minutes to you browse our website or give us a call. If you're out walking your dog, driving home, or relaxing on your favorite chair, just make a mental note to check us out. Now back to the podcast.
I don't want to dwell on Nebraska Furniture Mart, but I am curious. You're in a unique position, as you said earlier, about having now been on both sides of the table. I would imagine as the person being chased to win the deal by a whole bunch of different software companies. You got a really unique perspective on what all is out there and how they sell and what they're pitching and the good stuff. And I would imagine a fair amount of BS out there. I'm curious about your perspective, having gone through all that.
You know, there are good companies out there that we compete and that I now compete with, and they're successful companies. I think what it boils down to is, what is the individual need of that retailer? For me, a Nebraska Furniture Mart, I looked at platforms. Some platforms probably could have worked. It was a different model. Some platforms that were more app-based. But I didn't want my store to look similar to anything else out on the market. So I wanted that to be a custom build. I did the lessons I learned at Omnicom, knowing that CMS connecting to app development, I wanted a CMS provider that could build the app for me. So it took a unique opportunity to have a software development or a CMS platform that also had a on-staff development team that could create that experience. So I think it really goes back to the individual question that we ask when we sit down with new retailers, and I ask them, you know, what is your objective here? What are we trying to solve for? Because we're going to bring you an experience that's not going to be similar to someone else based on their need. Now, retailers tend to have a lot of crossover and same concerns and pain points that we have to address. So we come to the table understanding those pain points and making sure that all the teams are connected and everybody has buy-in. But they all have their own little unique perspective of exactly what they're trying to solve for. So yes, while I did see a lot of software platforms that quickly got dismissed, whether it be from a security, IT security angle, and I think that might be the single biggest issue out there, is that you have networks that cross over POS, that crosses over personal information, and the threat of connecting with personal data keeps retailers at bay when selecting a CMS provider. And I think that was probably what eliminated over half of the ones that I brought to the table just on that first round. And then we continue to dive down to the ones that could really deliver not only the content strategy and answer our question of what they can do to help us solve the problem, but also pass that IT security screening.
Was the cloud side of so many of the providers out there the thing that worried you get most around security?
For the retailer itself, Nebraska Furniture Mart, there was some concern with that. As we moved into the outdoor entertainment district, that didn't have that POS component. Mm-hmm. So we were fine moving into that cloud system at that stage. But the in-store, yes, that was a concern. Whether it was a valid concern or not, it was definitely a concern from IT security beyond the mm-hmm. what I had control over.
All right. So we met a few weeks ago in Las Vegas, met for the first time, and I got a run through from your team on AdLogic, and I didn't know what that was, and they walked me through it, and my initial response was, why are you doing this? So I got a good explanation, and I figured it out, but maybe because that would be, I imagine, kind of your big talking point at the moment that Reflect is doing.
Right, yeah. So AdLogic is something that came up about a year ago. We were asked by one of our major clients that had looked out in the market for a media placement, programmatic media placement software that would go hand in hand with what we were doing from a CMS delivery platform for them. And they had said, we've done our search. We can't find anybody that can hit all these boxes. Can you help us go find someone, make the connection? We'll continue to go direct for them. And so as a value add for our customer, we did an exhaustive search as well. You know, we always thought we knew what was happening in that space, but as we dug deeper, we learned a lot more about what was happening in that space. And we were unable to find, we came to the same conclusion as they were. We were unable to find someone that could answer all of their boxes. And so we decided this client was valuable enough, and there, if there's an opportunity in the industry for us to come in and build and check off some of those boxes, and maybe there would be a place for us, for our existing clients. And then as we continue to build out, we felt like this would be more of a platform that we could market out in the industry. And as we continue to build this, we steered it away from it only operating on our CMS platform. It's an opportunity for AdLogic to be on existing platforms out there whenever a retailer or an ad network might need a little bit extra movement. So the main difference in AdLogic is AdLogic allows for ads to be placed the way that they were sold, right? So whenever you come into an Omnicom or wherever I was at when we were placing media nationally on an impression-based system and placing that on a programmatic across the nation and major regions, we could never really know exactly what was happening or if there was an outage or if there was a holiday. How could we speed up or slow down the media to hit the exact amount of impressions that was sold? And so that's what AdLogic does. It uses a lot of math to take all the variables into consideration and always hit that exact number based on speed up, slow down of those ad placements. So, and I don't know all the details behind the platform, but that's really in a nutshell what that platform will do is just it places ads the way that they were sold and gives measurable results afterwards.
And as I understand it, it's almost in many respects, it's a closed system. So it's meant to be a tool set that a retailer that has screens across its estate, a brand could book time on screens within that estate and hyper target, figure out the timing and everything else, and do it within the nomenclature and the understanding of how retail works as opposed to how online works, which is how 99% of the programmatic platforms are built.
That's exactly right. So if we had a channel list on our CMS platform and they wanted to insert ad placements, then that would just add to the channel distribution and when they had something to sell or when they wanted to. It's the same idea that we would have if we wanted to target a certain message at a certain time of the day for sales lift. We would just place that media around those parameters. And if they had some co-op dollars that they wanted to place towards something, then we would just insert that at certain times of the day, whether there would be a dynamic shift of there's a lot of people in the store right now. Somebody's bought, a media buy. Whenever the traffic is at X, then we'll throw it in there as a channel, as a dynamic feed into their channel.
Right. How big is the company right now?
Our company is, we're about 75 people, including our board members. So we have about 50 here in the Dallas office. And then we have sales represented up in Minneapolis as well as Atlanta, and looking for expansion on the West Coast as well as the Ohio, Columbus area.
Okay. And you would have been up in Minneapolis because that's where Best Buy is and Target as well?
Right. We have Best Buy, we have Polaris, as well as Buffalo Wild Wings as some of our major clients in that area.
And you've got clients who I would look at them and kind of wonder, like a Best Buy and a GameStop and some of those, that kind of where are they at? Because they would be under a lot of pressure with the whole online buying versus bricks and mortar mm-hmm. phenomenon out there.
Yeah, I'll use the kind of the Macy's as the example. They're probably one of those brands out there where they might see growth even though they're closing stores in the future. And we feel like that's a positive for us as a platform that we use in their stores, or they use in their stores, is that while they're going to close stores, they're going to expand their customer experience in store on their existing. So it gives us more footprint into more regions and more areas across the United States for that brand. When they might have only done a flagship here or there, they will allow those experiences now to be expanded. So it's good. It's beneficial for us. It's beneficial for them because they do understand the customer experience in store. So while we might see big box closing quantities of of stores, they'll enhance their experience in their existing stores.
Right. When you talk about experience, how do you define that? Because it's such a big, broad, and squishy term.
It really is. Let me see if I can even... That's probably the biggest ROI question that we have from major retailers, right, is how do we justify this experience title out there? I think it's unique to each brand as well. You know, for going back to Macy's, we did a lot for their Herald Square store there in New York City. And it's if you were to go on that store, you can get that high energy. You can see how what type of numbers that store is bringing, and that's kind of a proving ground for what would work in other markets for them. So if you create that energy, create interactivity, so experience might be how that connection of a digital sign connects to your mobile phone, or how do you take that information with you? How do you seamlessly buy a product or take information about a product with you without having to engage the sales associate? That could be part of it. If you look at, like a company like Tesla that we might have worked on a flagship store with them, or another one, or even Nebraska Furniture Mart, where we're doing takeover moments in the entire store, or not even what we're doing, but others like Burberry and different ones, where it just gives you a nice feeling that attracts you into that store. We just did a lot with Spence Diamonds as their U.S. stores roll out. And if you look at a Spence Diamonds, it doesn't look like any jewelry store that you've ever been into. And it's not promotional driven. It's more, we're building experience and they're using digital technology for that. So environmental content, takeovers, really is drawing people into the stores where they normally wouldn't have wandered into that store. So That's where I think that experience level is, and the more case studies we can build on some of those wow factors and inspirational environmental content, the more brands will go down that path.
And you're really challenged, I would imagine, in terms of marketing your products and services, in that a lot of these retailers are very reluctant or just flat out say no in terms of co-marketing that, hey, we did this.
You're right. It's, you know, getting to the right team member is important at the store. A lot of these brands have limited co-op dollars for marketing in store too, right? All the brands that are at the retailer, they already have a set amount, or that retailer might shave points off the product that they're buying to give them a certain amount of exposure in store. We haven't seen that wave yet of environmental or inspirational content that's sponsored by a brand. I think that's coming. I think we started to see that, and what I was pushing for at Nebraska Furniture Mart was more of these environmental experiences that were sponsored by a brand versus a 50% off message, you know, with that brand logo on that particular product. So I think brand loyalty and brand recognition delivered in a new way in the retail space will be kind of the next phase of sponsorship in store.
Yeah, I know it's a one-off, but I often think of the Cosmopolitan Lobby, the hotel in Las Vegas, and they're not selling you anything. You just walk into that lobby and you have a kind of an emotional reaction. I feel good about being in this space. This place is cool. And I would imagine that resonates a lot more than buy one now, get one free messages screaming at you.
That's right. I think that's... that while there is a place for promo marketing, because a lot of our clients do that, and I get the numbers, the driving factor, and you can measure the numbers on that, you've got to pay attention to that feel-good moment to get people back in there. Every time I'm in Vegas, I go see what's on those screens. So it's always on my list of places to stay for me, because I'm always in that lobby. Every time I come to Vegas, I walk through just to see the experience. So you're right. It's How do you translate that into a retail space? We'll see. I think we're getting a lot more players from the architectural world, from the store design world, that is buying into the digital space. I think forever they always thought digital screens mean there's a TV mounted to the wall and is pushing an ad out there, a free delivery message, and that doesn't fit in the space that they're designing. It ruins it, right? So we're starting to see those designers of a physical space coming in and being and designing purpose-built digital into their space.
You mentioned at the outset that at your core, you're a software company, but you're offering other services. Are you finding now that most of your clients or target clients are looking for the quote-unquote turnkey solution?
They are. They're wanting one hand to hold during this process. You know, content is always that tricky one, right? Because traditionally, a brand would have a brand agency, and they would have a 2 or 3 year commitment. And then if they don't get the results they need, then they'll go to another brand agency. And it's just this repetitive nature. What we're finding is that even if we own the content strategy behind it, we're still working alongside those brand agencies and repurposing the brand content. So they might not be versioning in store. We're doing the versioning, but yeah, I think that we're gonna see a lot more brands that want that turnkey solutions partner. I know I did as a buyer. I didn't want to manage 5 different contacts and plan out everything. I wanted that project management team to know all the steps involved in every piece so that they could manage it. I could be more efficient where I didn't have 5 employees managing 5 different vendors. I could just have myself managing one person and then allowing that project team to manage that rollout. So I can only imagine in a retailer of 5,000 locations, it's just an elevated version of that.
Mm-hmm. So you've been in place now for, I think you said, 3 months. You've had your little baptism in fire. Are you feeling good about the next year?
I am. I'm feeling really good about it. I think AdLogic's going to get us great opportunities. I think being able to tell the story to other retailers of where I came from and the experiences that I've had is getting us into opportunities. And I think, you know, it's just as our industry grows and you start to see, you know, 5 years or 10 years ago, you had 150 CMS platforms out there. And now you're starting to see that reduced down to companies that are really focusing on the skill set that they all tend to live in. And so we tend to be in retail. Retail is kind of our A, B, and C platform base. You know, we've grown into entertainment, finance, hospitality, and of course all the content creation components too. But yeah, it's going to be an exciting run for the next 12 months, I'm sure.
All right. Thanks for your time.
All right. Thank you, David.
That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening and learned something. If you want to stay on top of what's happening and actually matters in digital signage, join thousands of readers who visit 16.9, that's 16-9.net every day. If you like this podcast, please also check out the companion 16.9 podcast called Projects. That's done by Michael Tutton, and there's a new episode every second Friday. 16.9 the blog and now the podcast are properties of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare bedroom in my house near Toronto. Thanks to our podcast sponsor, ScreenFeed, and thank you for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.